Christmas is a season of waiting. The good news is that the wait is almost over. We've been waiting for all those presents under the tree, for all the delicious treats that have been baked and prepared, for trips to see family and friends, for guests. Maybe you've got guests coming your way later today or tomorrow, and that's what Christmas is all about. We plan and anticipate, we hope, we expect, we wait. Sometimes we wait patiently, sometimes we wait anxiously. For some families, the wait will end today. I know in some families the tradition is Christmas Eve is your big gathering and presents will be open this evening and you'll get to enjoy all of that today. Others, it's tomorrow and you'll have all of your celebrations on Christmas Day. Others, you might even be putting it off for a few more days as you travel and wait to see family later in the week. But the waiting for Christmas is almost over. But that does not mean, for followers of Jesus, that does not mean that we're done waiting. Waiting is a part of life, part of living in this world, that we're bound by time, and there's always something else to be waiting for. There's always something else to be watching for and anticipating. We can't go back in time, nor can we make the future come any faster. And so with seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years, we wait. We wait for whatever it is that you're hoping will come next. And for followers of Jesus, our waiting is also about watching for Jesus to return. Waiting was also a part of the Old Testament. You think about that time before Jesus came into the world, and in many ways the Old Testament is all about waiting. God had made promises and plans, and the people had watched and waited for those things to come true, and the greatest promise that God had made before the coming of Jesus was that one day the Savior would enter into the world, and so people were waiting for that time. When would it come true? And when the time had fully come, there was a little baby born in Bethlehem. And for the people of long ago, that waiting was finally over. The Savior had come. But God's people, even today, are still waiting. The Savior's birth was not the end of the story. In fact, God has more and even better promises that we are waiting for, because we are still waiting and watching for the final fulfillment of all that God has promised, when Jesus will return and bring this world to its completion. We're going to read this morning one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's a call in our lives to become more like Jesus. And it's also, as we get into the middle part and the end of this passage, it's a poem. It's a poem about Jesus' life. His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection. And then it even points ahead to the great promise of Jesus' exaltation. And that's where we really want to give our focus this morning. Even as we remember Jesus' birth, we also want to think about the great promise that we are waiting for, that one day Jesus will return. So this is in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each one of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This passage tells the whole story of Jesus. On Christmas, we could focus on the beginning of the poem that Paul wrote here, that Jesus was made in human likeness. Or if this were Good Friday, we could focus on the middle portion of that poem that says that Jesus became obedient to death, even death on a cross. But this morning, I want us to focus on the end of this passage, on that promise that Jesus will be exalted forever, that promise that one day everyone will understand what we already know, and that is that Jesus Christ is Lord. This points to the great and final promise of our faith. The promise that one day Jesus' victory will be complete. Jesus gained a victory over sin and death and evil when he died and rose again, and his victory was final, but we're still waiting for that victory to come into its fulfillment and the consummation of all that God has promised and planned for us. One day that victory will be complete when our broken world will be recreated and we'll enter into God's glory for all eternity. And so today, as we look back and celebrate Jesus' birth, I also want us to look ahead. To look ahead to what we are waiting for, what our faith has promised us, as we look ahead to Jesus' return. So what is it that we are waiting for today? As the people long ago waited for Jesus to be born, and we now celebrate that story, but what is it that we are still waiting for? Well, one thing is that we wait for the time when every knee will bow to Jesus. Every knee will bow to Jesus. Today and tomorrow, there are literally billions of people all over the world who celebrate Jesus' birth. We are a gathering here in this church, and all across town, there are believers and houses of worship. There are people all throughout this day and tomorrow who will gather and worship our Lord. Christmas is nearly a universal holiday in our nation. Even people who don't worship God, even people who don't honor Jesus, will still celebrate Christmas. They join in this celebration. Even those who don't like to say the word Christmas, they still put up their holiday trees and give their holiday gifts. And that's okay. They can celebrate in that way. Christmas is a season that gives us a small taste of what is to come, that one day every knee will bow to Jesus. One day every tongue will confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And you might say, well, how can that be? There are so many people that we know in the world around us today who don't believe in Jesus. There are many people in our world who follow other religions. There are people who have never heard of Jesus. There are people also who have heard and yet have rejected Jesus. How can this be true? You see, this prophecy points to Jesus' return, when he will come and bring this world to an end. And in that time, everyone will have no choice. They will have to acknowledge, because the evidence will be in front of them with nowhere else to look. They will have to acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord. And at the final judgment all will bow down to Him. And that is God's promise to us. So as we wait, we rejoice that we already know the truth. That we already acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord. We already bow down before Him. We celebrate His birth. We remember His life-giving death. We rejoice in His resurrection. Jesus' return will also, though, bring an end to the brokenness of this world. And so we also wait for the time when all of our troubles will end. That may also be hard for us to imagine. But we wait for that time when all the brokenness of this world will be restored. Christmas is supposed to be a time of happiness and light and goodness. We remember that God's love was born. That little baby was placed in the manger. Jesus came into the world, and the choir of angels sang out His praise and spread the tidings of joy and peace. But then, even in the Christmas season, we're reminded time after time that our world is still broken. People are still hurting. We feel that hurt sometimes. Jesus offers us hope and comfort and peace in the midst of the turmoil of our lives. And He also offers us something better, something even greater than peace in the day-to-day living of this life. You see, He has promised that one day all of the brokenness around us is going to be restored. All of the hurts that we feel will be healed. One day all of the sorrows of our lives will be erased by eternal joy. And Jesus has promised us. And we wait for that day when temptation and sin and evil will all end. That day when Satan will finally and forever be defeated. And anyone and anything that opposes Jesus Christ or stands in the way of His followers honoring and following Him, when all those things will be overthrown. We wait for that one day when those forces of opposition will never threaten us again. Because one day all of our troubles will end, and we wait and we watch for that day to come. We hope for the complete restoration and healing that we anticipate, but we understand that won't come in this world. It won't come in this life. It's a promise of the new heaven and the new earth. You see, we also wait for that time when we will join the great multitude of believers in heaven. Jesus told us about heaven. During His time on earth, Jesus taught about lots of different things, but one of the primary focuses, the themes of Jesus' ministry was to teach about the kingdom of heaven. And He talked about that kingdom coming into this life, into this world, in bits and pieces. And we'll see glimpses and glimmers of what God has promised for us. But He also pointed us ahead to that time when He will come and make all things new and take us into that place that He promised to prepare for us. And after Jesus left this earth and He went into heaven, He promised that He would go there and prepare a place so that one day when this life ends, we will go and be with Him for all eternity. At the end of Scripture in the book of Revelation, there's an image, several images really, of the great gatherings of God's people. Jesus' followers gathered there from every nation and tribe and language and people, people from all over the world who have come to know that Jesus is Lord, and they will gather with us before the throne. And we will together sing praise to our God. We are waiting for heaven. We are waiting to take our place in that great multitude of believers. We are waiting to stand there before the throne of God. And so you might ask, well, how long do we have to wait? When will all this come about? When will our waiting come to an end? In theological language, there are two answers to that question. There is what is known as personal eschatology and then general eschatology. And if you've never heard that word, eschatology means the study of the end of things. So you have a personal eschatology, I'm sorry to say, when you die. And we also have a general eschatology, which, according to Scripture, is when Jesus returns. And so you ask, when will we enter into heaven? And the answer is either when you pass away from this earth or when Jesus returns, whichever comes first. And in either case, those are good things to look forward to. Because we will get to go and be with God in that paradise that He has prepared for us. And we will enter into that place when all the suffering and turmoil and brokenness of this world will be gone. All of that will be behind us. And we will enjoy God's goodness and glory forever. And we get to go there because Jesus is our Savior. Heaven is our great promise. Heaven is our glorious reward. But I want to bring us back to the central theme of Philippians chapter 2, which is really the central theme of today, praising and honoring Jesus. You see, we are also waiting for a time when Jesus will be exalted forever. And that is really the great hope of our faith. When our Savior will be lifted high and exalted by all of creation for all of eternity. Christmas is not just about giving presents. And in the same way, faith is not just about getting to go to heaven. We are here today to exalt Jesus Christ. We are here today to praise and honor and worship Him for coming into this world and becoming our Savior. The truth is, that's what heaven is going to be all about. We will spend all eternity praising God and exalting Jesus Christ. Yes, heaven will be a wonderful experience for us. It's a place where we will enjoy perfect peace and happiness and contentment. And we will be there with all of our brothers and sisters in faith for all eternity. We will lack nothing. We will want for nothing. We will fear nothing. But our purpose and our calling in heaven will be exactly the same as our purpose and calling in this life. And that is that we will spend all eternity exalting Jesus Christ as our Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the message in that truth is for this life just as much as it is for heaven. That we begin right now, fulfilling that great purpose of why God created us and why God redeemed us through Jesus, to lift Him up and exalt Him forever. So our waiting for Christmas is almost over. And I hope that you'll enjoy your celebrations, family and friends gathering in the next few days. And I hope that there is great joy for you under the tree and that your Christmas dreams come true, whatever those might be. But as we celebrate, we remember that we are also waiting for something even better than Christmas. We are waiting for Jesus to come again. We are waiting for God to fulfill His great promises and make those promises come true in our lives and for everyone who lives in this world. Because one day they will all bow at Jesus' feet and they will acknowledge that He is the Lord. We are the ones today who confess that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that He is our Lord. We rejoice in that truth. So let me invite you to bow your heads and we'll give thanks for the goodness of God in our lives. Father, we do give You praise and thanks today. We thank You for sending Jesus as our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we have come to know him as our Lord in this life and the great hope that we will exalt and lift him high for all eternity. So help us, Lord, to celebrate today, but help us also to wait and to watch for Jesus to return. And Lord, we pray that that is soon. Father, even today, if it's your will that Jesus would return and bring to final fulfillment all that you have promised us. Lord, we thank you for that great hope that we have in Christ. We thank you for the new life that we have found in him. And I pray for all those here today that you would help them to rejoice and celebrate today, to exalt Jesus, to lift him high, to bow down before him, and to confess that he is our Lord. We pray these things in his holy name. Amen.